Are we all ready?
Yes, sir.
Very good.
You're all right, Charlie.
I'd like to call to order the regular session of the Berlin Mayor and Council for Tuesday, May 28, 2019. And this has been our custom here for many, many years. I'd like to invite everyone to join the Mayor and Council in reciting the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First item on the agenda tonight is the approval of the executive session minutes of May 13th.
Motion to approve.
All right, we have a motion by Councilmember Boyas to approve the executive session minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Let the minutes show that the decision was unanimous and all council members were present. Next, the reason for the executive session on the 13th was to consult with staff, consultants, or other individuals about pending or potential litigation. Right. Now we're up to item 1C, the approval of the regular session minutes of May 13th.
Motion to approve.
Motion by Councilmember Goyas to approve the regular session minutes as prepared. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Again, passes unanimously. All right. Next, we have a motion 2019-12, and we have a presentation, and that's Berlin Roadway and Utility Improvements, a proposal from Davis Billingford Hill. And Robert Doom is going to provide the information and presentation.
Hi. Hey, everybody. Good evening, Mayor and Council. What you have in front of you is a proposal for roadway and utility improvements along three of the town's roadways, Shaw, Grace, and Bottle Branch Road. These were among the three worst kind of ranked roads from the town's roadway study back 2 years ago. So what you have in front of you is full service engineering for all three of those roads. Takes you from preliminary planning all the way through the end of construction, included in the cost.
And if you would briefly just summarize the total for each and then the total for all, please.
Yes.
Because it's right here, but that way
certainly
the audience and the media and everybody.
I have it verbally out here, so let me just kind of read over the proposal.
Certainly, no problem.
Design phase services for all three roads, we're looking at topographic survey of $4,800. That's a lump sum fee. Design and construction drawings of all three roadways, including geotechnical testing and the design of the roadway, $9,700, that's lump sum fee. Erosion and sediment control permitting, again, for all three roads, following with the Soil Conservation District, a lump sum fee of $2,700. A stormwater waiver permitted through the town's stormwater reviewer, EA Engineering, of a fee on that of $1,200, and construction phase bidding services, a bidding effort for all three projects to receive sealed bids from contractors and a lump sum fee of $7,000. And construction administration services, where we'd be coordinating with the contractor throughout construction and ensuring that the project is built as designed. For all three projects, again, for a lump sum fee of $7,200. We'll prepare record drawings, which are the, as the roads are built by the contractors, if there are any minor changes or changes to the roadways, we'll note those on the record drawings for the town's record. And that's a lump sum fee of $2,400. And the only fee in here that is not a lump sum is the estimated fee for project inspection. Which would include a full-time inspection of any underground work and part-time inspection of any above-ground work, and that's estimated to be $9,600, and that's for a total of 120 hours over a 90-day construction period. So we've done our best to kind of predict how long the construction would take for those three streets and put in that amount. The total for all that work summed together is $44,600.
And that's for all the design and construction engineering services?
Correct, yes. It's all the engineering to get you from preliminary all the way through the end.
And then the contract would be awarded for the actual rehabilitation and reconstruction of roads would be separate?
Correct, that would be for a contractor, yep.
Now, do I understand this? Hold on, I'll use the microphone. Do I understand this correctly that some of the survey work and stuff listed in this document would help prevent some unexpected stuff that we experienced on West Street?
Yes. So in this proposal, I believe we've outlined some of the, we're going to do some visits to the sites with the town's personnel. We're going to review records. And we're also going to do some investigating of what's under the roads currently.
Like terracotta pots?
Exactly.
Or was it ceramic?
Yeah, terracotta pipes typically.
I said pots, sorry. I'm used to Home Depot.
Any old clay pipes or any failing systems that are under there now. Certainly want to assess and upgrade as part of this project if needed. We wouldn't want to go in and put in a fresh coat of road, you know, surface course of pavement, and then find out in 5 years that you've got a failing terracotta pipe.
Is there anything that should be underground as far as the electricity goes, Tim?
Yeah, it could be.
The
underground it is very expensive. I mean, that would add a lot more to the project.
Okay.
Yeah, as far as you know, you're anticipating that the overhead lines on those streets will still serve those areas at least for the foreseeable future.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. I think it would be ideal sometime in this century if we could get all the underline over all the overhead lines underground, but that's going to take another massive infusion of money over.
That's correct.
A couple of generations.
I just remember we looked at some of the stuff for Baker Street. I didn't know if that was something that was.
Yeah, what we did on Baker, they were going to dig it, you know, a good portion of the road up for the new asphalt to be laid and all that. But I mean, you could go in and put conduit in to prepare for it, but you would have to dig a trench, you know, about 30 inches deep in the road and then lay the pipe in there, and then you'd have to, you know, put the grade back in, the gravel or whatever you need to for compaction, and then it could be there at some point if you did decide to underground the lines.
What our current procedure is that if something's a totally new development, and we require it to be underground
so that
we don't have to go back later.
Yes.
But the rehabilitation of the majority of town is certainly it's going to be inevitable. I just can't say when it will have to begin, but I'm guessing between now and the middle of this century, it'll be an ongoing significant investment. But at the same time, everything we're being told is those kind of investments in this kind of area where our greatest threats are natural disasters, storms, and flooding.
That's correct.
That would be the best thing we could do.
Yes.
So first we got to stop the water flooding, and then we'll try to figure that one out.
Yes.
Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Right. You need a motion to approve?
Yes.
I'll make a motion to approve the 2019-12 Berlin Roadway and Utility Improvements for, what is it, Grace?
Shall.
One more. Bottle branch. Thank
you. Or you could just say as presented.
As presented.
That's a good one.
My iPad went dark on me, so thank you.
Okay. So we have a motion by Councilmember Pendle to approve the motion 2019-12 to proceed with the Berlin Roadway and Utility Improvements as proposed. The total cost is being proposed here is $44,600. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Again, your vote was unanimous.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you in a few minutes.
Yep.
Yes.
We go far.
Next, we're on item 2B in the agenda, and that's a motion 2019-13, a request from local coffee shop on what grounds on Main Street. They're requesting tables and chairs on the sidewalks immediately in front of their store. So
Denise.
We all know each other, but if you'll state your name and positions, we appreciate it.
Dana Gottlob and my wife Denise Gottlob, owners of On What Grounds.
Well, you want to move the bike? You can move
closer.
It.
Just pull it for you.
Yeah, just move it. It's very flexible, but
I'm not.
Yeah. And just aim. You can aim it towards yourself. Yeah.
I need to do it over.
No, that's all right. Just. Okay. But I'm saying you can aim the speaker right towards you. Okay. That's what we have to do.
Gotcha.
No problem. Someday we'll do another upgrade.
Another upgrade.
Yeah.
Okay. So Dana Gottlob, my wife Denise, we're the owners of On What Grounds, and we would like to put some tables and chairs on the sidewalk in front of our store.
And now, from what I understand in your proposal, we've done this in a number of other places, particularly on Main Street and also on Broad Street. Maybe you could help people because we know where you are.
Okay.
Where are you in reference to some of the other places that already have approvals to do this?
The interesting thing that I found when we first considered this, DeFebo's across the street has tables and chairs, and so I asked Lisa DeFebo if I could borrow her table and chairs to see how it would fit. Mm-hmm. And so while I went over there to get the tables and chairs, I had a tape measure in hand, and I actually measured the sidewalk on that side of the street as compared to our side of the street. And I was shocked, truthfully. I always thought our side of the street was narrower, and I don't know if it's because we have bricks and they have nice, fresh concrete, but to my surprise, we were actually about 3 or 4 inches wider on our side of the street. And so the picture that I attached with our package, there's still, I believe, 56 inches of clearance width, and we would probably get I can't get the exact same tables and chairs she has, but they will be very similar in size for sure. But there's still 56 inches from where the tables would be to the curb.
And it's considerably more than the ADA minimum requirements.
Yes.
And I think the idea of complementing it, again, we're not looking to try to create uniformity because all the different decorations and plantings and things that are done in front of all the stores are done individually. It's not mandated.
Right.
And again, by doing that, we have a lot of creative and I think very attractive decorations on our downtown streets. But I think complementing like that will just add to the, personally, I think it'll just add to the charm of the entire walk.
I think tables and chairs just make it that much more inviting and ask people to kind of stay, mm-hmm. you know, have a seat, enjoy. And I think certainly over the weekend, we noticed that there were lots of people sitting at the tables and chairs across the street. So,
yeah, and that's great.
Yeah.
Again, if you stop and take in the atmosphere, guess what? You might order a cup of coffee, and then you might order something else, and then you might stay for dinner, and then you might do some shopping in between. And it's kind of interesting. Everybody working together has worked very well this last decade, and I only see that continuing.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and I think we're a great example of that kind of thing because we started out as a very small space, mm-hmm. and now we've grown into the entire space. And having the tables and chairs out front just kind of enhances our whole project, I think.
Does anyone have any questions for Dana or Denise regarding their request?
I'll make a motion that we approve it.
Okay, we have a motion by Council Member Brittingham to approve the request by Dana and Denise Gottlob regarding the request for tables and chairs. The total is three tables with two chairs each right in front of their business on Main Street. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Opposed.
Okay. The decision then is 4-1. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. And good luck.
Thank you, folks.
All righty. Now on item 3 of the agenda, and that's a resolution 2019-03. It's a proposal for Athena Properties. Help yourself. Yeah, get the chairs you need. Very important. Yeah. What we have here is First, I think we're just going to make sure everybody's informed of what's being proposed, and then I'll open a public hearing so we can get any input from anyone in attendance tonight, and then we'll proceed from there. So, just as before, everybody, we all know each other, but if you can just introduce yourselves for the record and for the public and press.
For the record, Mr. Mayor, Regan Smith of Williams, Moore, Shockley, and Harrison, on behalf of Athena Properties, the Buis family. And the good news is, while I'm Joe Moore's law partner, I don't talk nearly as long as Joe does. The bad news is my jokes aren't as good as Joe's. So.
I wouldn't worry.
And this is Peter Buis, who is our young associate and also a member of the Buis family. Okay. And we have Spiro Buis and Mary Ann Buis, who are the owners of Athena Properties. Yeah.
Welcome to you all. Thank you.
And you all are familiar with the Buises. They are currently property owners in the town. They own the old Tasty Freeze, now the Crush and Crab, on the south end of town, which is the southern entrance. They own the Food Line Shopping Center, which is on the eastern side at the 113 entrance, and they own the property in question, which is at the northern entrance of North Main Street, and also several other homes in town. So they're very familiar with the town, very committed to the town, and they're pleased to be here and pleased to come forward. We're here, and you all should have before you a loose leaf binder with the annexation packet in it. And we're here to request that the town.
Excuse me, Kelsey, you lost the visual. You may have picked something underneath it. There's no.
Oh, you lost your visual?
She did.
I didn't tell you.
I don't know.
He nailed me under the wall.
Oh, there we go. We're back.
It's all
right. Yeah, we can fix it there.
One more reason to look into one if we could ever afford it.
Yeah, she did it.
Good one. Yeah, I'll take it. Okay.
Well, for those of you who should be familiar with this, we have been meeting with the mayor and various town officials, planning director, of course, and town administrator for approximately 7 or 8 months, going over the proposed annexation. Just a little history. Back in, I think it was 2000 or 2001, the town annexed up North Main Street and annexed the properties on the opposite side of Route 50 for what at that time was proposed to be the Berlin Tech Park. So the town, it was going to extend its sewer and water lines at that time. It took a few years to get grants, etc. So I believe in about, was it 2011? The town came to the Buis family asking for an easement, which they granted to extend the sewer and water lines up there, and that has in fact been done. So the property in question, if you could bring up that, is at that time you annexed North Main Street, you annexed the Buis property, which fronts North Main Street and Route 50, and you also annexed the state police property, which is on the left side of the plat there. So the idea was to extend sewer and water lines to the state police barracks. They had a failing septic system, and to get your ability to go across the street.
In that case, Route 50.
Yes, to go across Route 50 to get to the other side. You have subsequently done that, as you know. So at this point, this property is currently surrounded on three sides by the town of Berlin. It is surrounded on the east side by North Main Street. It is surrounded on the north side by the existing parcel, which is part of our request here to add on to that. And then you're surrounded on the west side by the state police barracks. In keeping with Maryland's annexation law, it's contiguous to town property and it currently has sewer and water available to it. The current zoning on this property, of course, it's county property now, and it is zoned commercial. It's zoned a commercial district, which is similar to what we're coming in as with you all, which is the B2 district. The property has already been through the Planning Commission process, and Planning Director Dave Engelhardt has already received back from the state and the county the appropriate positive information regarding approval. approval or agreeing to that annexation. The current zoning allows for a commercial use shopping center type district, which is exactly the same as what you all have in the B2. What we're asking you to do is to bring this in. We're going to then access the sewer and water lines, which are already there. The laterals are already in place. And if you look through the packet that you have, you'll see there's a letter from the mayor and the town that back in 2001 that says, hey, this is what we're doing. At that time, the thought was we're going to come back and annex this when we get the sewer and water lines in. That took a little bit longer process than anticipated, although to the town's credit, they did it with a grant, so it did not have a significant impact on the taxpayers at that point. Our proposal at this time is we are going to, assuming you all, of course, approve the annexation, we're going to come back with a site plan review to Planning Commission for a gas and service facility, a Wawa-type facility at the corner there, and go through the Planning Commission process for that.
Would it be for general discussion in the public, so basically I'll call it a convenience store and with the gas station?
Exactly.
Gas station pumps.
And we already have a tenant lined up that signed a lease for that, and they're ready to go. As a part of our process and in the agreement that's before you, we've already started to conduct a traffic study at that location. This is a state highway, so it really will be up to state highway, how we access, et cetera. But in getting comments back from the people in the Planning Commission through the town administrator and planning director, you'll see in there a diagram that shows you where we think they will want that entrance. Again, that's state highway's decision, and I think the mayor's familiar with them.
Well, one thing just to say, it's clear to everyone, is that they have the responsibility and authority to determine the entrances, but they always, not just in Berlin, take in consideration the interest of the community, the town, and our suggestion will be, which we've shared there, is that initially you need an entrance just for this, assuming this all gets annexed, for the convenience store and fuel pumps. But as it expands and the other portions, the other, I'll call it two-thirds roughly, then our recommendation to State Highway is then to consider a second entrance immediately perpendicular to the one that serves Main Place, Berlin Main Place, because then, and we'll see, because they're the experts, but at the same time, we have gone to great expense and to line up intersections that didn't, so we certainly don't want to create one that down the road everyone agrees needs to be lined up. And we still have a few left, but not as many as we once did. We have a couple off the top of my head, so I just want to be aware that, you know, we don't dictate to them, but we show them why, and then they make the final decision, and we all live with it.
And we've certainly received and acknowledged that.
Yes, you did. You very much so. You've been very open with soliciting that.
The question always comes up, in your comprehensive plan with the town, you have designated growth areas. This is within your growth area, and as you can see from the slide, it's already in the growth area, so it's already been viewed by the town as a potential annexation to the town. And then this is the actual zoning map from the county, and this shows that this property is currently zoned commercial in the county. It's commercial across the street in the town, and it's commercial on as you move towards town across the street in the county. It's a little bit of an odd spot because you've got a section of the town that's actually in the county out there. So we're contiguous to the town, and then on our southern border, that's county property as well there. And, of course, this is the town zoning map, and you can see from the hook that we are surrounded on three sides by the B2 shopping district zoning, which is what we are asking to come in our annexation petition. So that'll sort of square off this area. At this point, the town will now control its entrance at Route 50 and 818, where the town will have jurisdiction over all four of those corners. And as you know, you all have planned for that in your comprehensive plan. And then this, the mayor was referring to the site plan. This is a tentative site plan we've come up with to show you all the proposal for the corner. And oddly enough, it, as you know, where the building sits is actually already in town. So the property lines aren't there right now, but on this plan. But so the building actually could be built by itself in town now. But the overall plan, we want to do it in a comprehensive way, working with the town. So we're asking to annex the remaining property so we can come up with a good quality center for the entrance to town. And the just to address a couple of technical issues, the code requires that the we advertise the property, and Dave will refer to you if you can just reiterate to the council that all the advertising is done correctly.
For this public hearing?
Yes.
Yeah, it has to be advertised twice.
It was.
And
it was done correct.
Yeah. Okay.
And the hearing that was held before the Planning Commission was also advertised.
That's correct.
It
has to have the same mechanism. It has to be advertised 2 weeks in a row, and the first advertisement has to be 15 days before the public hearing. And it was, and that was March 13th meeting of the Planning Commission. They passed a recommendation on to you, to the mayor and council, by a 6-0 unanimous vote at that public hearing. It gets passed from then. I take that material. I have to forward it to the Maryland Department of Planning and to Worcester County Development Review and Permitting. And we got back a response from the county administrator that everything was to standard. And I also got a response back from Mr. Keith Lackey with the Maryland Department of Planning, Salisbury Regional Office, that everything had been done to statute. And it was okay to proceed to
tonight
advertise and schedule a public hearing now of the mayor and council.
And I want to point out that when under state law, if a property is 25 acres or greater, it requires being published four times.
Four times.
This is less than 25 acres. So the only requirement is that it be published twice.
Okay. And it's about 9 acres, roughly?
The requested annexation property is 6. The property that's already in, combined, the two properties are a little over 7.
Yeah. So it's still well below the plan.
Yeah, this one's a little unusual because part of it's already in town. Yeah. We're just asking to bring the entire.
Just make a point here, as people know, is we have had a long-standing policy in this town that even when we extend water services for water and sewer, we do not force everybody that's along that lateral to come in day one. Some towns and cities do it that way, and that's their prerogative. But here we have found that different people are at different age times in life. Their situations are changing. Some people think that it's not maybe a good idea, and as soon as we put the lateral in, then they're usually the first in line to be added on because of all the services that they can receive by hooking up to town water and sewer. So it is one of those things where that's why you see open areas, because we're not forcing people to come in. We're letting them come in as they're ready. And it's been worked very well. We don't have any people being under duress. And I think the first time we did that on a larger scale was going to see Decatur. And since then, I mean, we've got another annexation request coming up very soon on Old Ocean City Boulevard down that way. So, you know, I just want to explain why we have those, is that we're not forcing people to annex, but, you know, as time develops, most people realize that they're better off having these services, and they have to go to the expense of making it happen.
Right, and we've reviewed very carefully with town administrator and various departments. We have capped the wells. Nobody living there now. We've capped the wells. We are going to be paying, assuming we're annexed, obviously ready to serve fees on EDUs, and our tenant will be purchasing those EDUs to go with that as we move forward through the site plan process. So, as I said, the laterals are already there, the water line's there, the sewer line's there, so there's no infrastructure cost or expense to the town on that. We are also, as I said, the wells are capped. The police and fire department, the police and fire department's currently training on the property, and then they're going to actually trained by burning buildings down as well. So they're all aware of what's going on, aware of the annexation. And they're getting a little free use out of the property. As a part of that. Also, the annexation agreement has the standard provisions in it. We're acknowledging that we will be taking care of our own trash service, that we acknowledge we'll have, obviously, police protection, fire service. We are going to be paying for EDU use and water use as we go forward, playing ready to serve and the EDU costs. And I have a feeling that they're going to be higher than what we had projected after the next speaker, but that's that we're prepared for that as well. And there are no expense to the town on this annexation because the sewer, as I said, there's no extension of lines. We're currently served by Delmarva Power. There is a provision in the agreement that's in all your annexation agreements that the town, acknowledging the town's right to go into the Public Service Commission, has to take over and go through that process. So,
you've done that further down the street, across the highway with Sunrise Church. And that's
right.
And all that. So it's not unprecedented. It's one of those things where basically we get the revenues from the service forever, and we have a customer fee or whatever it's called that we work out with Delmarva, and it's always benefited us greatly because they're serving literally nothing's there right now that's serviced. And then it's transferred to us, and then there'll be this first stage and then other additional stages as it develops, which will all be customers of the town of Berlin. Electric as well.
And I have the Buis is here if you have any additional questions for Mr. and Mrs. Buis. We've done a small tax projection on the existing property that shows that the current rate you'll increase. You'll increase your revenue, and it shows, but that isn't necessary as part of this annexation unless you want.
I understand, but I think from a public perspective,
Since
you're going to be paying the taxes anyway, you might as well acknowledge that the town will be receiving property taxes, and what your estimate there is. I mean, I realizing that as the development grows, that property tax revenue will increase. It's just another way people. I think under a current environment, we want people to understand we're not giving things and we're not subsizing. As it's obvious to you, but it's not always.
Yeah,
obvious
we'll let Mr. Buis address the
questions. Sure, of course,
and I'll pass these down.
You didn't have these on the overhead, sir.
Thank you. We can pass it down.
It's
helpful.
Make it easier
That's
for you.
Easier.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I directed you to the first page, and the one column in from the right hand side showed $3,774.40. That's what the annexation of what the town tax will be approximately with the annexation of the listed properties with no change to their use. So we took the current assessment and put the current proposed tax base on that.
Okay, thank you.
The rate of SURF fees is likewise have one EDU per lot. Rate of SURF fees. So roughly $5,700 a year will come to the town of Berlin with no change to the property. On page 2, it's anticipating the convenience store with the gas pumps being installed, and then the remaining property now with site improvements. So a value was put on that. Assuming those two values are in line with where I think they're going to be, it brings your proposed tax for the town of Berlin to $20,800. If I've calculated this right, there's a ready to serve fee and also a minimum use fee for the convenience store. So that would be EDU and use, and the undeveloped land is the ready to serve. Those numbers are $46.47 for the convenience store and $11.62 for the undeveloped property. for a total of approximately $1,500. So the reoccurring income coming to the town of Berlin that currently is not receiving would be a roughly $22,000, $21,962, using the math I've used above. On the far right, you'll see an estimated EDU revenue. That's taken into an estimate of 6 EDUs for the convenience store and another 3 for when we do lot line adjustments will be the other 3 lots, meaning $151,000 in EDU revenue. And that is just with the single parcel being developed prior to any future development.
And just so people, you know, because some people are more familiar with some of these situations than others, the ready-to-serve fees, by paying those, which is half the regular monthly fee, guarantees that those EDUs are reserved in, from the capacity of our wastewater treatment plant and water plant. So that at that time in the future, when those EDUs are needed for this development, the capacity will be there. It's not required that you do that, but it's generally a smart thing to do because nobody can know exactly how long it will take to do the development. And those EDUs cannot be, then those ready-to-serve fees, those EDUs cannot be sold to someone else, and this project gets to a certain point and then stops. It just, you know, it's an investment in making sure that the EDU capacity is there when it's needed, and the town receives revenues during the process. I just want to explain because it's not something that comes up every day.
Well, and also, as we've discussed in the past, these properties were on well and septic, and as you know, your town administrator has advised us all, when you come into town, you have to have a EDU for each lot. Mm-hmm. So the ready-to-serve fees that are projected are going to be paid regardless of what happens because we have to have one for each lot now that we've capped the wells. And yeah. Assuming, again.
It's good for everybody, yeah. Especially with the loan.
Just a point of clarification is four of the properties are serviced by wells. Two of them have been capped and sealed. The other two will be done once we get past this process.
Okay. Thank you. Does anyone have any questions for Mr. and Mrs. Buis or either the attorneys regarding any questions at all regarding this proposed annexation?
I have a question. How did we arrive at the $5,000 cap for, we're on section 8.5.1, page 5 of the annexation agreement with Delmarva Power for $5,000 capped on the developer's end and the rest of the burden being placed on the town?
There's a process that you have to go through in order to take over a service area, which is before the Public Service Commission. So these properties, because they're not currently annexed, are not actually in the town.
Right.
So you can't service them now. And the town administrator has been working hard. There's an agreement in place for the other property we've already annexed.
Right.
And that number was not a certainty when we were going through the process. So discussions was we were trying to, assuming that's what, and it's not the property owners pay this, it's the service providers between themselves.
Right.
And I questioned whether it's legal to try to have the property owners pay that.
Okay.
Reading the Public Service Commission law, we came to a discussion and agreement that whatever it might be, that we'll agree to pay up to $5,000 for it. Because, and again, we haven't talked, but I don't believe that Laura's gotten the firm numbers back.
That's correct.
The proposal was coming down pretty rapidly, so I don't think it's going to be an issue, but I didn't want to say that without something. And it's not anything that Laura has been persistent trying to get it. It's just trying to get them to respond and go through their numbers and get it to the town.
Them being the Public Service Commission?
Delmarva
Power.
So this, in other words, this annexation, in my opinion, will have to go. If the town desires to take this over to service area, Public Service Commission will have to approve that in an agreement between Delmarva Power and the town. That hasn't been done yet because it's not annexed. But the other properties are already annexed. So So that's the process that Laura's been trying to work through. But, and again, she's been very persistent, but Del Marva Power hasn't really gotten the numbers to the town yet.
And as we say, I don't want everybody think that Del Marva Power's trying to give us a hard time. It was very unfortunate, but the person that we've been dealing with for years and was the head, taking the lead on this, passed away, unfortunately. Okay. So that's one of those things you just can't do anything about, and that didn't kind of get regrouped. We've been through so much other, not only just in the recent years, but the last 35 years with Del Marva Power, that I just don't see this is going to be any big contention. It makes sense for all sides, and this is the time to do it, not after the development's progressed and it gets harder to switch everything over. So I just want to explain why, because I think it would have been resolved months ago.
Essentially, you're paying them for the infrastructure. Right. There's nothing really there right now.
You're paying them for the customer.
You're paying the customer.
That's what you're paying them for.
The unamortized portion of money they spend
for the customer.
Can I jump in here? Yeah. It's actually a process we've had in place. As the mayor pointed out, the person we were working with in Del Marva Power, unfortunately, passed away. It's a little more complicated in this case because there's some properties that are subject to what's also called an annexation agreement with Del Marva Power, and some are not. So what we were trying to work out with Mr. Boos and his family was an understanding around an assumption of the cost or a portion of the customer cost. And you're right to understand that it is essentially the town purchasing that customer service. It's a function of the usage over the last 3 years. Based on our understanding of the way the services are being used and the occupancy, we don't expect it to be a lot of money. To my mind, it made sense to include this as part of the annexation discussions because it's a cost, in my opinion, rightly to be borne by the properties that will be annexed into the town.
Well, that's a long explanation for a question, but I think that's everything we know about it. It's a good question. It's those things where we always need the Public Service Commission.
And with the information we had, we thought it was going to be less than that number. So that's how we came up with it.
Negotiated figure.
I have another question.
Yes, sir.
Has anybody consulted the fire department about fire and EMS coverage and how this may change if we annex the property?
The fire company? Not directly.
That's for the handle fire and EMS.
Because they're already serving.
They're already servicing.
They're already servicing beyond this. It's still in town limits.
I'm just concerned a little bit. I'm not a traffic expert by any means, but that intersection's already dangerous enough. And then by placing two entry and exit points along Main Street that close to the intersection and then not having a traffic light there, I think we're going to be opening a can of worms for anybody that were to develop in that corner.
But has a little bit of experience with State Highway.
Yeah, you have more in that aspect. I have more in the people that have passed away at that intersection.
I understand. But here's the thing. Until we have the development, we've been involved in getting all the traffic lights, including the one Steve Nicator before that, all that became part of the town, you have to have something there for the state to then do their analysis as if the traffic light is then, what is it called? I would use the word needed, but they have a more sophisticated word. And this is the catch-22. If we do I'll call responsible development at that intersection, which I think is happening on both sides, that will accelerate that decision. And that's how those traffic lights, I mean, they used to take years to get approved. And now with the, more, I'll call objective analysis that has to be done, and certainly the traffic flow, it's much easier to show why one's needed now when you already have one, let's say at Seahawk Road, then again at 589, then again at San Bowen Boulevard, and so forth. So it used to be very hard. Now it's if we can show the traffic volume has been impacted by this development, and it's not our burden to prove states, but if we can present that, then that's something that is, I wouldn't say ever call it easy. Much more, it can be facilitated in a way that's fair and doesn't take eons.
And I think that your objective is to have people shop there and get gas there. So in doing that, it's going to create, it's a tricky intersection already with a short merge lane to get over back onto Route 50. And then I also question why we're having two exit and entry points on Main Street and why we don't just align that right away. There has to be a reason. That's why I'm asking the question.
Well, first of all, because it's State Highway's decision, not ours, and we're doing the traffic study. But I think the initial cut point is good. We think it's going to end up being a right in only, and then the main in and out is going to be lined up with Main Place across.
So the exit would be.
Our concern is that may be a stormwater management issue. So we're going to have the engineers sit down with them, and that's why we've already initiated our traffic study. So again, State Highway, that's our intent, but that's going to depend on what State Highway directs us to do. There's going to be a decel. We know there's going to be. We've already hired Betty Tustin, a traffic group, to look at it.
And we say that's another thing too. That's changed from the beginning of this century. Before, the environmental thing was a separate agency. Now within State Highway, they have their own environmental departments. And so they have to give approval, too. So maybe the location, and to be on the practical matter here, the location of stormwater management ponds will have to take in consideration the safety concerns. It's not like one trumps the other totally.
Right.
Pardon the word. But it is one thing that they have to find a balance so that the environment is not adversely affected and also that traffic safety. And again, another one of those things I can't say for sure, but based on what's happened east of any intersection east of here, at some point the traffic count justifies an upgrade of the intersection itself. We're getting ready to experience that here on Bay Street, Maryland 379. Well, you know, we could argue that maybe that needed to be done 5 or 7 years ago, but at least it's going to get done because now their traffic counts verify that upgrade is necessary. So it's kind of hard to say. What comes first, the chicken or the egg? And I do understand that we don't want to sacrifice safety. We want to make it more hazardous. But if we don't have a reason to do it, they're not going to invest a considerable amount of money to upgrade the access, to widen the turn lanes, and ultimately have a traffic control light stick there. Just throwing it out because I know it's a lot to deal with. But there's nobody working against it. It's like anything else. It's finding the money.
That's your question.
I have another one.
Yes, sir.
What considerations have been made? I assume that a gas station is not going to be the only thing that goes there. In the event that there's something that requires pedestrian traffic, to what extent? I know our comprehensive plan discusses annexation should have a plan for pedestrian traffic and bicycle traffic. Do you have one for this development?
We're anticipating, again, we can only do what we can do on our property. Right. But we're anticipating a bike lane and sidewalk there as part of our planning process.
Okay. That's great. Thank you.
But that we can't speak
you will
for the
put
rest of,
a sidewalk and a bike lane in?
We think that's what, and that's what it's going to come back with. So, because I think State Highway regulations require the plan for bike lane.
If I could add, yes. The development agreement requires their traffic analysis to address appropriate vehicle, bike, and pedestrian access to the development.
Perfect. Yeah. And that's all. That's directly out of the State Highway manual on that line.
Thank you.
Okay.
Anything
else you want to present?
Unless the council
hearing.
Has other questions for us.
Does anyone have any questions for these folks?
I'm okay right now. Thank you.
Okay. Now we're going to open the public hearing on this Athena Properties annexation proposal. I think everyone here now knows everything that we know.
Under the state code, you're required to ask any state official or county official want to speak first.
Okay. Are there any
of them here, but the law says
okay. Are there any state or county officials here who wish to address the mayor and council on the proposed annexation? Is there anyone in attendance tonight who has any questions or comments they wish to make about the proposed annexation? Yes, ma'am.
The gas station across from Food Lion has an issue with pulling in and out, and I'm hoping that at some way that you're going to address that when you make the entrance onto 818, because eventually you're going to have a merge lane onto Route 50 probably the same setup that's at Food Line. And that one gas station, trying to get out of there and get into the merge lane for Route 50 is impossible. So somebody needs to be paying attention to that.
Okay, very good point, because that again, that property, that was the only thing on that corner, and it preceded everything else.
Right.
And unfortunately, if it was just back further, it would have been work great. So there again, I think the practical side of that, because it is a very good point, is that that first entrance, that right turn, it needs to be far enough back, and then so there's not a backup. Because I do think traffic will ultimately increase because of this and because of the continued development of Berlin in terms of not its size, but of its appeal to visitors, and that the second entrance is so critical because that, again, keeps that problem where you're trying to get back out. You can do it. And I have to admit, living right down the road from the situation that Marie's talking about, it's strenuous. it's a challenge every day. Okay,
Reagan, I got a question. You mentioned the company Wawa. That was just a term that you were using.
Just an example.
Yeah, that's because people are familiar with that style of building. You know, Sheets, Wawa, Royal Farm.
Right.
This is going to be a 7-Eleven, but it's a new concept, so it's not one you've seen, but it looks like it's got the nice windows on both sides, the dual. It's going to be a Sheets Walmart-type building.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to clarify that.
Sure. Does anyone else who's here tonight have any questions or comments? Yes, ma'am.
Oh, hi, I'm Jenny Allen, and I live at 104 Davis Court. And my question concerns when you all annex the Sunrise and you transfer the electricity, I believe the newspaper said that we paid $36,000 for that.
Yep.
Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. My concern is I don't think that we have $36,000 to pay for this annexation if that occurs. So I'm fine with having a Wawa or Royal Farms or whatever, and I'm fine with whatever else you want to build there, but if it looks like we're going to have to pay $36,000, I'm not interested in us picking up this electric.
We're not thinking it's even going to cost $5. Just saying, you know, because it's based on what's there. And remember, there was the Merle Select plant was there for decades, and its usage and its capacity and as a customer was much greater, and certainly greater than what Sunrise Church and what they still hope to develop, because they've got, 30 acres for sale right next to the church, so that will be developed too. But this property is in a different league in terms of the usage, and that's why it's not going to be anywhere near that.
But will Delmarva Power look at their plans and say, gee, if we kept them, we would be able to make this much money by selling them the power?
Mayor, can I respond?
No.
Yeah, let me answer that for you. So Delmarva Power is required to use 3 years of the history, the usage of the property. And then in the case of Sunrise, we sent their estimate to our electric utility consultants, who checked it actually several times before we got to the number that the consultants felt was correct. Based on my discussions with the electric utility director and the consultants, it's highly unlikely it's going to be anything close to what Sunrise was costing, in part because of what the mayor said. The usage on Sunrise property was substantially higher. We don't anticipate the usage being anything like that, because
from
this is a collection of single-family homes, some of which I understand haven't been occupied in quite a while, so the usage should be extremely low, and that's the basis for the customer service calculation.
And the annexation and the electric service are two separate things.
Mm-hmm.
So the town annexes the property. Then they make a separate analysis whether or not they want to take over the electric or not. That's not a requirement.
Right.
of the annexation.
I wanted on the record that the question is there from members of the community.
Sure, and the town will of course analyze that whether it makes sense to do it or not.
If it's $36,000, it's done. That's not going to happen. But it's I'm just trying to give what we've been told so far. You know, and nobody's pulling anybody's hair, arm wrestling. It's somewhere in the at least much more closer to five, rather than it's a little more or a little less. I don't know, but that's the best estimate our consultants can give us at this time. Just so you know.
Well, you said the word I wanted you to say. If it's $36,000, it's done.
Oh yeah, it's done. Yeah, absolutely. It's done and flushed.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. No, I appreciate it.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
The provision doesn't provide an opt-out, I don't think. I'm not a legal scholar, but I don't see an opt-out for the town to say, hey, look, Mr. Buez, we don't want to service your property.
No, in other words, right now, this property, again, it's been kind of mixed together.
Yeah.
Two issues. One is annexation,
right,
whether this is part of the town. The second is, okay, does the town want to provide electric service or not?
And that's not up to Mr.
Yeah, that's not up to him.
That's up to
the
us.
Town, yeah, Water Power, and the Public Service Commission.
Right.
But Laura just said Delmarva is not gonna base their estimate or their fee on what may be there.
That's correct.
But what has been there for the last 3 years.
Historical usage.
Okay.
That's what's required.
And I can assure you that's not much.
Some of these buildings have been abandoned.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yes, does anyone else wish to address the council? Okay. All right. Seeing none, I now close the public hearing and thank you very much for your participation and questions, both from the dais and from the public. All righty. So, as we go now, have a decision to make as the council has to make a decision is if you wish to take action on this annexation resolution, having heard the presentation by the applicant and the public hearing comments.
I have a question for my colleagues. If we've identified that we're going to do a study to see if our rates are equitable and what we should be charging, if we're going to bring people in, not just Mr. Buez, but anybody in to the town limits, before we complete that study, should we maybe place them? I know in the study done by DBF, there was a mention of a special tax district in the event that we don't charge the adequate pricing, that we have a way of maybe recouping that cost through a different mechanism.
Now, which rates are you talking about here?
Well, I'm saying like the EDU rates or the service level, like for that we're talking about this evening, for the usage of water and sewer. If we determine that those prices are too low and that maybe future annexation should be paying a different rate because of capital that's going to be required to service that development, then maybe we place future developments in a different tax zone or district.
If we find we need to increase the EDU rates, which is equivalent to dwellings, which right now altogether is $16,882,
right?
So, which is not the highest in the area, but significantly higher than most places around in this region, is then the rate would be raised for everyone at that time if it was shown that was the issue, and at least everything that we've been getting information from our engineering firm and consultants is that the sewer rates themselves are artificially low, and at the time that the wastewater treatment plant was upgraded, that the EDU fees covered what they were supposed to, and in fact, it was too dependent on the EDUs, and that it's the monthly sewer and water rates that must be adjusted up by the actual users rather than new or long-standing uses. So I think the answer to your question is the EDU rates don't seem to be the issue, and they're reviewed. They need to be reviewed, let's say, I'll say at least every 5 years. You know,
I would think that would be in the study. that we're going to have done, considering that.
But I said he is not here tonight.
Right.
And noting Councilman Tindall's comment, and just one other comment, I'm going to tell Joe Moore that you do talk as much as he does.
I think I'm partially to blame.
Like, I would like to move to approve Resolution 2019-03 or...
2003. And just for clarification, so we understand what the EUs are tonight. Let's say that a future study, you know, whether that's 6 months from now, next year, whenever, does adjust the future EDUs. The ready-to-serve guarantees are there, but the EDU fee is whatever it is when you actually apply for it. So I just, you know, I don't want anybody to be misled, and I just want, you know, everyone to know that when you apply for it, it's what the rate is at that time. There might be an adjustment. I don't imagine it'll be like before where we doubled it. It went from 8,000 to over 16,000. Yeah. I don't think that'll ever happen again. Once we get, you know, if it is, that's what you want to hope. Yeah. Okay. So in any case, we now have a motion by Councilmember Burrell to approve the annexation agreement for Athena Properties as proposed tonight. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Opposed.
Okay. Right, thank you. Let the record show it was a vote to 4-1. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Have we followed up with a letter to State Highway with the traffic study?
Well, we will again now that we're actively moving forward.
So then a letter will come. Do we need to make a motion that it has some of our traffic concerns in there? Or
well, I tell you what,
should it come?
Why don't we do that? What? Let's make a suggestion. Just if everybody will send Laura your thoughts,
okay,
then she can do a rough draft, and I'll do some more, and I'll send it back and make sure everybody's in.
Perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that would go a long way.
Yeah. And again, this is an interesting thing. Because I think we've earned their respect over many years,
right,
they know that we're not just winging it. And I think that means something when we're making suggestions that they're not something weird, tied to their concerns, recognizing that.
Since they're already studying it, it makes sense to put in our concerns early.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. Alrighty. All right, you're back
yes.
on the
foot. Good evening again.
Deck again.
So I'm going to take the lead on this one. Rob's available to answer any questions as well as Natalie that you might have. So before you tonight, can you speak? Oh, thank you. Yeah, sure. How's that? Kelsey, can you pull the slide up with the water usage chart? Yeah.
That's
okay.
Pretty warm.
So, several months ago, the town engaged Davis Bone and Friedel to do an analysis of our water and sewer rates, and they came up with a recommendation or determination that resulted in the chart Kelsey is pulling up. Now, are you able to grab? Excuse me for a second. Are you able to grab the email? Okay. Did you include this in the packet?
No.
Can you make... sorry. I apologize. Can you make a bunch of copies of that? So before you tonight, you have a series of recommendations regarding the increases to water and sewer rates that are reflected in the resolution. The numbers here are the culmination of the work that DBF did analyzing water and sewer expenses and revenues over the last 5 years. One of the determinations the report made was that the EDU amount, the charge for the special connection fees, should not change. I believe the analysis showed that the town's charge was the highest in the area of the 10 cities
in the communities we studied.
Right.
They may be more further out, but we kind of stuck to the Eastern Shore.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So we're not recommending an increase or a change to that, but we are recommending a 5% increase in water rates and a 25% increase in sewer rates, and we're also recommending some changes to related fees that are reflected in this resolution. Based on information from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, if you look at the U.S. inflation rate from 2010 to 2019, prices have gone up by about 17%. So the town hasn't adjusted its sewer and water rates since about 2010. So in addition to the 5% increase for water use and the 25% increase for sewer use, staff is recommending that the following fees also be adjusted. The temporary shutoff fee should be increased from $50 to $58.50. The turn-on fee should be increased from $50 to $58.50. The water meter replacement minimum replacement charge should be increased from $250 to $292. And those fees are all listed on the second page of the resolution under section 1, letter E for the shutoff fee, F for the turn-on fee, and G is in go for the minimum replacement fee. So I apologize for the slide problem, but this is the slide that we're referring to. And Jeff, did you make some copies for members of the...
Already been given out.
Awesome. Great. So using the chart that you have before you, you can see the impact of the 5% and the 25% increases, and you can see how that breaks down based on the gallons of usage in the far corner in the upper left-hand side of this chart. We're also recommending an increase to the hydrant permit fee. It's currently $50 plus $15 and $3.81 meter maintenance per 1,000 gallons of usage, which I found a little complicated and a little confusing. What we're recommending is a $200 permit application fee. That would include a meter replacement. Meters are about $700. Meter maintenance, the time to install the meter and remove the meter, as well as the time for processing the permit application fee. These permits come into place when contractors come into town and need access to water for their work. And so in addition to increasing the permit application fee, staff's recommending that a water usage be charged the current rate and that all terms of the permit application must be met, and that a $1,000 fine should be applied if there's an issue with not meeting the permit application requirements or damage to the meter itself. Currently, that fine is $200. Lastly, we're recommending a slight alteration to the swimming pool section of the resolution. Currently, the town is required to be notified in advance if somebody is going to be filling up their swimming pool and requesting a credit to their sewer bill. That doesn't always happen that way, and we try to work with people because we understand folks are busy and things come up. But there's nothing specific in the current resolution that says, you know, any kind of particular time period by which the town needs to be notified. So what we're proposing is that the town must be notified 24 hours prior to filling the pool. So we're just a little more clear on that. There's also currently no limit to the amount of gallons that can be used. It's a $5 per 1,000 gallon credit. We're not suggesting changing that. But we are suggesting a maximum limit of 10,000 gallons, just so we're not having any problems. and a $23.40 service charge rather than a $20 service charge gets applied to the customer's utility bill. So the charge that's currently in place at $20 is intended to sort of offset the time it takes for staff to sort of go out, read the meter before the filling of the pool, go back out and check the meter after the filling of the pool. And again, since inflation has increased prices, I'm suggesting that that fee be increased from $20 to $23.40. So, questions about all of that.
I have a question.
Okay.
When the budget was originally presented for the enterprise funds of water and sewer, it was breaking even without any contribution from the general fund, but without any capital, correct?
Right.
So the increase in the fees will go to offset capital?
I'm going to let Natalie answer. Natalie answer the details of that one.
Originally, budget was proposed with contribution of $100,000 coming from general fund to support sewer fund.
Okay.
The budget that was introduced in the last meeting, we eliminated the contribution from general fund.
With this fee?
With the increase of the fees.
Is there anything above the $100,000?
No, sir.
So this will just cause it to break even?
Yes.
With capital or without capital?
Capital did not change. No capital project been budgeted.
Okay. So this is just to make the funds break even?
Correct. Stop the borrowing.
All right.
Hopefully.
Thank you.
Thank you for your question, because that's something that's come up two or three times at least in the last 2 weeks.
And I also want to point out we've got at the bottom of the table an estimated annual increase in the water account and estimated annual increase in the sewer account. This is the additional revenue that we're expecting. That has a 10% conservation or conservative factor we're making, an assumption that folks, when their bill goes up, will start to adapt and use less water. And so Natalie says hopefully, because this information we're providing to you in terms of the rates are estimates, and if we're good at estimating the impact and the adjustment, then our numbers will be accurate. If we're not quite, then it could be a little bit higher, could be a little bit lower.
The only question, you guys, between Natalie and Rob, you both confirmed that or concur that this is going to make us break even by your best estimates.
Estimates.
Gotcha.
Yeah. As of right now, we're projecting the sewer fund to be uneven.
Okay.
That's if forego all the emergencies and nothing bad happen. We don't need to improve or repair or replace something major. Then
Understood.
General fund will have to support that.
Understood.
Yes.
I'll make a motion to pass resolution 2019-04, changing the water and sewer rates as described.
I think we have one question. I don't know if that matters.
Sure.
Yeah.
No,
not me.
Go ahead. Yes.
All right. So on the budget from the last meeting, on page 2 and also on page 44, it says that we are going to make a contribution from the sewer fund of $100,000. And then on page 53, it says that we are going to make a contribution to the general fund from the stormwater fund of $40,000.
Mm-hmm.
So if this is a break-even, then why are we moving money from these two funds into the general fund?
We're looking at the revenues as of right now. So projections, according with Rob being done, is a break even. This budget introduced with the revenues projections from the prior estimated fees and usage. So we're going to reevaluate the numbers one more time. So as of right now, we're predicting a break even. The transfer's been set up with the prediction that we will be able to start repaying the sewer fund going forward. That's the best scenario. But
basically you're saying that the budget that will be introduced on the 10th,
right.
will be amended. So
not amended, but it will be revised.
Either way.
Changes, yeah. After, because this resolution was not adopted in place.
Okay, so we may not see money moving from those two areas into the general fund?
I would think we would have stormwater $40,000 in place as of right now, as it is. The sewer fund, probably not.
Okay, and the money is to replace what is borrowed, not to be doing something else with it.
No, that's the money was placed to replace what was borrowed as the best possible scenario. The second best possible scenario is to break even and not to borrow from general fund.
Which is an obligation of those funds. They are supposed
to... Well, the obligation of the fund, sewer fund, is to repay the general fund in the long run.
Right.
So as revenue projections, as Laura mentioned, we predict that the conservation will be happening in place. So the best outcome, the sewer fund will stop the borrowing. The second best outcome, the sewer fund will be able to repay some sort of a money back from the revenues collected to general fund. I don't know if I'm...
Well, it's the best you can project, and then when we go through the year, we'll know by this time next year we'll have a pretty good idea.
Well, we agree that we're going to get together again after 6-7 months into the year, and we'll look at the revenues coming in, and if possibly we will set up the transfer back to the general fund, because it is an obligation from the sewer to pay back the general fund. It is not assigned to any capital projects. It is not assigned to do any intentional purposes for sewer or general fund. It is basically repaying the loan, if you think of it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Made a motion to pass resolution 2019-04.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Purnell to approve resolution. Yes,
sir. Tim Papa, Henry Smith. I just have a simple question here. I agree with Laura. Water is an important asset. It's a valuable asset. Now, when I look at your numbers here, from 0 to 299, 3,000 gallons, you're charging $5.45 approximately per thousand. So if we value
It's additional. The charge will be $19.64 plus additional $4.45.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The additional $4.45 is only for 1,000 gallons above.
It's the total. It's, let me give you the exact number. It's $24.09.
Yeah, it's $4.45 per thousand. So
that's what I'm saying. It should be higher.
It's in addition to.
In addition to the
1964.
Yeah. So the gallon is going to cost 1964 plus $4.45 on the top of it each time.
Let me make that a little more clear.
You're just saying $4.45 should be higher in your mind.
Per thousand, because at the low end. People who are conserving are winding up paying more
actually, if you receive the chart as well, we've done what we call a re-tiering to where we're shifting everything 1,000 gallons closer. So we are actually bringing that kind of increase upward at an earlier time with this re-tiering, and that's where the conservation comes in. We elected not to change too many things at one time with this. We wanted to move the 1,000 gallon shift at 7,000 as opposed to the old one was at 8,000. So it was our effort of increasing conservation among users.
And impacting the higher end users sooner than the schedule that we had.
So it's not, yeah, they're the
break is at 7,000
instead of 8,000. So there is a conservation effort into this new rate restructure as well.
No question. Yes, Jason.
What do you expect the average homeowner to do to conserve water, not flush the toilet? I mean, it's not like you have garden hoses running in the yard
24/7. I think there's plenty of water conservation faucets.
Low flow
toilets.
Defecate in the street like California?
No need to respond.
I mean, there's only so much you can do in a house to not use water. Modern appliances are really efficient. I mean, if you got a drippy faucet, that's on you, but most of us don't. So to his point, and what you discussed early on, the high-end users should get more of the impact than the average household.
It sure looks like they would.
Right.
$25 per thousand versus 15 or 16. And how many users do you have it for 7,000 gallons in town?
Most of them would be more of your commercial, and Rob probably had them numbers with the higher
end. Yeah, I think we said somewhere around 30% of users are at the base rate.
I think there was majority, there was what, 40% of below the
first tier?
Yeah, 30 to 40%. I think it's over 50 or so, you start seeing around 7,000 or more.
50 commercial accounts?
50% of 50% users, I think.
Of the accounts are over the 7,000.
I would think. I don't have those exact numbers in front of me today. We'd have to check on that.
So the basic...
And in either case, our rates we have right now are not... Our water department's doing okay. Breaking even, so we're getting a little capital money and planning for the future by raising it 5% now is what my understanding is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, I don't know if we need to raise a whole bunch more or.
It's just a sewer side that's more challenging.
Yeah.
So there's a motion.
That's my thought.
Okay. Try and make a motion. Yep. Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Purnell to approve the new water and sewer usage rates and connection fees for the next fiscal year beginning July 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed?
Okay,
Thank you. Okay. All right, now we have the first reading of Ordinance 2019-04, which is
Variances
and who wishes to basically explain this? Is it you or
I would point out, Mr. Mayor, that the ordinance you just discussed was 2019-04 also.
That was a resolution.
Oh, okay.
Resolution.
Okay. But it said, okay. So this is
Ordinance.
Ordinance 2019-04, okay. It just listed differently on the agenda, I thought. Excuse me?
No problem.
This ordinance was necessitated during the March Board of Zoning Appeals meeting. We had an applicant reading the start of the section to define her and her husband's hardship and needing the variance. And she got to the line in it that says, you'll see down further in your copy, beyond a reasonable doubt. And Mr. Moore, being the chairman of the Board of Zoning Appeals, Joe Moore, that we discussed earlier, he said, and Dave Gaskell, our town attorney, was at the meeting also, and he said he never, in 30-plus years of being on the Board of Zoning Appeals, realized that that language was in there and that it was a statute, I believe, Dave, for the criminal court?
Yeah, that's a standard of proof that's required to convict somebody of a crime. And, a request for a variance, obviously a civil matter, that standard of proof is by preponderance of the evidence.
Okay.
And so Joe requested that we do a
text amendment?
Text amendment. And Dave was so kind as to do the text amendment for us. I've legally advertised it so that we could have a public hearing on it on the June 10th meeting, I believe it is.
June 24th.
Okay. I'm missing a meeting. So I guess I should read it, Dave, for it's a first reading.
It doesn't.
So that will, again, come back up on our agenda for on Monday, June 24th.
Good thing nobody wants a variance up there right now. You never get one.
All right. So now we're up to the departmental reports. Item 6 on the agenda. And, Natalie, please.
Yeah. Good evening. Don't have much on my agenda. The reminder, June 10th is budget adoption, and we also get in dates set up for the audit. As of right now, September 9th through the 13th, I'm confirming with PKS and company for our audit week. That's all I have.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions for Natalie? Jamie Latcham, Water Resources and Public Works report.
Just trying to get caught up on grass, and we had our final spring bulk pickup.
Cutting grass, right?
Cutting grass.
Yeah, cutting grass.
Be specific.
But we had our final bulk pickup, and just trying to get through the holiday and cleaned up from everything.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions for Jamie?
I got a, not a question, but... the street on Flower Street, right past the substation. Take a ride and check that out maybe sometime in the next few days.
Just past your house, right?
Yeah. It has dropped. The street has dropped. And I don't know what's going on.
I do.
Okay. But I think about all those school buses going through there.
Sinkholes.
And I don't know what's going on underneath that street. But it hit me the other day when I was marching in the parade.
Uh-oh.
How much of a difference the street has dropped.
I understand.
Just get back to us when you know what can be done.
Well, we're going to have to dig the street up and probably replace a great good bit of sewer right there.
Okay.
Give us a let us know what's happening, when we'll know, and when it's going to happen.
Bring back the resolution.
But it will be. It'll be fixed.
Okay. Thank you. Next is Utility Director Tim Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I have a few things to report on. At 312 West Street, there's a new house being built there, and we had to energize a construction temporary service for power for the to have the house built. They're going to use it to power their tools with. And also, we assisted Public Works with bulk pickup, and then also at Intrepid Lane, the last four private area lights have been installed, so they're all completed now on Schooner and Intrepid both. They're all LED lighting, and they're finished. And then also, up here by the hospital on North 113, we had to replace a pole there. And then, what else was it? We assisted Public Works in Stephen Decatur Park, removing some dead trees in there to clean that area up. And then this week, we're actually doing meter reading. during this week. And then also we're prepared for peak shaving at the generation plant, which will start June 1st. So we're ready to go with that. That's it.
Excellent. Anyone have any questions for Tim? Okay. Next is Police Chief Arnold Downer.
Good evening, everyone. The agency has actually been busy the last week, and we actually anticipate being very busy in the next week. The Memorial Day events on Sunday and on Monday were all well attended, and definitely were challenges for the force itself. But I would say that the parade was actually one of the largest that we've actually had in recent history, and working with a lot of new event staff was very challenging, but I think they did a wonderful job in preparing and trying their best to go ahead and make everyone safe and have a good time. So we're really proud of the work they did for the parade. The high school, we actually have been there a lot. They've had their senior practices, senior skip day, and we anticipate a lot of activity with the graduation season itself, not only with Stephen Decatur, all the other area high schools. On Monday, June the 3rd, we will be host of the last leg of the Special Olympic Torch Run, which would actually either start from Worcester Prep and ending at the Berlin Fire Department. We anticipate it actually starting at 11 o'clock in that kind of time frame. The torch actually start on the boardwalk, and they will try to go ahead and make stops at BIS, Worcester Prep, and Buckingham with their actual tour, bringing the torch to the firehouse. Next meeting, we actually anticipate having a general order for the body-worn cameras before you for approval. And in regards to our tragic loss of life last week, we want to definitely go ahead and stop and thank all of our law enforcement partners, the Worcester County Sheriff's Office, their patrol division, CET, Maryland State Police, their homicide unit, their crime techs. We had 9 officers ourselves on site, Ocean City Police Department, and definitely town staff coming out providing lighting. Again, we can't go ahead and do these things on our own. We know it's a time for healing for the community. We anticipate a lot of other events with the young folks of the community that are going through. So they're planning something actually this Thursday as a memorial, and we'll try to go ahead and just, you know, keep everybody abreast of that. But we can't say it, you know, any stronger. Please, you know, hold on to your children just a little bit tighter. Have a discussion, a talk with them, and understand that they are going through emotional things. The high school did a wonderful job of having extra counselors. The health department was there. But, again, it's nothing like, you know, the parents and the family members talking to their children about these events that are going on around them every day. Thank you. That's my report.
Thank you. That was a very, very good report. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Concern for the community and how people are affected as well. We're very grateful for not only what all you do, but for our law enforcement partners. I think it's a great example for all of us. Please pass that along.
Yeah.
Does anyone have any questions for Chief Downing? Next is Planning Director Dave Englehart.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I just have one thing. This is always our busiest time of year in the planning department. We have a lot of violations, you know, grass complaints, that type of thing. But one thing I did want to point out, we have just in the last couple of weeks of April and here in May, we're just finishing May, we've got 7 new home permits, single-family dwellings. So I think that's significant in some of the discussion we've had publicly recently with real estate, you know, maybe we're putting pressure on the real estate market, but to have 7 new homes in virtually a month is, you know, I think a cluster that we haven't seen before. Normally I'm getting 8 to 10 new homes where we don't have a whole development. We'll get 8 to 10 on their own in a year. So to have 7 all of a sudden, I think is good news. They are, you know, and we know the cost of building a new home these days is not inexpensive. It's more expensive than buying a home that's been, you know, preoccupied on the market. So I think that's good news for our economic health and our, you know, town resources. And I just wanted to point that out. Four of those have been issued in the last 2 weeks. The other three are pending. So, you know, and they now with the sprinkler requirement, they take their way to kind of get through the system with the fire marshal until it comes back to us. But I expect those other three to be issued very shortly. The one that Tim mentioned, 312 West, that's already underway. You've seen one probably down here on the end of Bay Street. That's, you see the foundation coming out of the ground. So we're happy to, you know, we have a lot of people that we got to help out, but we're happy to help them when they're excited about a new home. So that's all I have.
Thank you. Thank you. Any questions for Dave?
I got one question on the, what's the barbecue restaurant? Is that still in?
It is. I've talked to them, but they're sticking to, they want to wait till they get through their others, the season now. The owner has two other restaurants, so he wanted it to kind of be the wind down of his season. Maybe September he would start this up. But I have nothing new from them, but the last submitted plans, that's what they're going to stick to is what I'm told. So it will be coming. They have an agreement in place with the landlord, you know, the Plaza owner, but they just haven't gone any further with permitting yet. But okay. He thinks the end of the summer, early fall.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Next, Economic and Community Development Director, Audrey Wells.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Good evening, Mayor and Council. next week, I have been asked to be a presenter at the Maryland State Arts Council Art Summit. I am presenting with a colleague from the City of Baltimore about art in downtown and successful events. So they paid for my registration for that. And so I'll be going there next Wednesday night, Thursday, and Friday. Everything is squared away for our fireworks celebration on July 3rd. Met with Fire Chief Jimmy last week, and also Fire Marshal Matt Owens, and everything is good to go for that. So we're all squared away for fireworks for July 3rd at dusk, sometime between 9 and 9:15, with seating available at Berlin Falls. And then also I wanted to reiterate what Dave said about houses being put up for sale recently. I'm pretty much in the Welcome Center where my office is, and I hear word on the street from our visitors and also from locals. And despite everything that's been going on over the last several weeks, it's really nothing but positivity this last week and a half, I would say. When we were, one of the comments that I'd like to share with you, when we were setting up those cafe tables and chairs at Reggae Play Day, it's just the little things. The little things matter so much to people you don't even realize. There was about six people standing over by Gilbert's Provisions, and they said, wow, this is such a cool town. They're setting up tables and chairs. And just things like that that you hear when you're not really paying attention. And also, we've had so many bus tours come here over the last couple of weeks. I worked with two different bus tour companies, and I think last week on May 20th, we had 80 visitors come here from two different bus tours, and it's just increasing time after time. And the buses drop the visitors off at the Welcome Center. They come in, we talk to them. If they need a bag to carry their stuff, we offer a sustainable bag, and we always tell them that we're a sustainable community and we try to use reusable bags here. And they're just thrilled. They everyone has a good time, and it just shows that, you know, everybody loves this town. That's all I have.
A couple weeks ago, I think it was Tuesday after the last meeting, we had the German travel writers through the Maryland Department of Tourism arranged their visit here for a day, and that was very. You know, it's amazing they can go anywhere they want. They go to D.C., but then they can pick where they want. And most of these travel writers pick Berlin and Assateague as their Eastern Shore choice. And they can go anywhere.
One more thing I forgot to mention. When I took over the TripAdvisor page 4.5 years ago, we've now reached a Hall of Fame status on TripAdvisor downtown Berlin. So they're sending us a certificate that we'll go ahead and once we get that in the press release, we'll go ahead and send that out.
Okay. Thank you.
It sounds impressive.
It does.
Can't be hurt, can't hurt. Very good. Does anybody have any questions for Ivy?
I have a question for Ivy concerning something that was in the weekly report. I usually send emails right away, and Laura always responds immediately to my questions. But someone living in my home forbid me to send Laura my question this weekend.
Oh, my goodness.
She said,
tell me why.
Let her have a restful holiday and leave her alone.
Oh, thank you.
But it was two questions, and I can only think of one concerning Ivy. In your report, you talked about renting space at the visitor center.
Oh, right. There, we used to have WOW, Worcester County Warriors Against Opioid Addiction, used to rent one of the little cubbies in the visitor center for $200 a month, and they recently left, and there's someone else who wants to rent that office space.
So that would be done with a lease, and they would need insurance? And all
oh, yeah. When that initially happened, I went over a lease with Dave Gaskell, and we had a lease for, there were actually two companies that rented small offices in the Welcome Center over the last 3 years, and now this will be someone new coming in. We have a lease and agreement established, and it's notarized.
Thank you. Another question I'll send you tomorrow.
Right. Next is Managing Director Jeff Fleetwood.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I want to piggyback on something that Tim Lawrence mentioned about bulk pickup. Dave Wheaton shared with me that it was not a record this year as far as the pickup, but they did pick up between the all utilities about 32 tons worth of bulk pickup. So it was not a record, but they said it was a very close one. Last week we did complete open enrollment from a personnel perspective. I have a handful of folks to circle back to that have been out, so we'll make that happen. Tomorrow in this chamber from 8:30 until 8:30, we are sponsoring through the Local Government Insurance Trust a defensive driving class. And Jamie's agreed to go to it, so we'll say. And then on Thursday, May 30th, from 9 until 2, in this chamber will be the representative from the Deferred Comp organization nationwide. And that's an open session where anyone can come if you've got questions. But they are also sponsoring a lunch and learn, where lunch will be provided, and that will run from 12 to 1 again here in the chamber. That's all I have.
Great. Does anyone have any questions for Jeff? Okay. Thank you. Next is the town administrator's report.
I don't have anything else.
Okay. I just have two quick things. One is that I want to bring the public and the press up to date with the notification that I received from Catherine Banks, who's the president of the Maryland and Delaware Railroad Company. She's informed me that the final phase of railroad track work and some work on a small bridge repair should be done very soon, and all this should be finished during the first half of June. Why this is so meaningful is that it will allow for freight train service to return to the town of Berlin in the very near future. If everyone remembers, we had freight train service here for 100 and some years until here, Superstorm Sandy, and then that interrupted that, and then Tyson wanted to renegotiate the contract, and all that has been squared away, and everyone's very excited that this vital link from Snow Hill to Berlin up through Delaware will be returned to service. Catherine informs me that we don't have a set date for when we will resume freight service, as this will depend in part on Tyson's timeline, Tyson's plant down in Snow Hill. At this time, my best guess is sometime in June or July. Obviously, the track speed, particularly through the town, would be 10 miles per hour or less. When those plans materialize, I will definitely let you know. By letting you know, he means myself. And, of course, then get the word out. And of course, Catherine can always be contacted
at the Maryland and Delaware Railroad. But that's the latest, greatest, just as of just a few days ago. And, of course, we're all pleased to see that a freight rail service returning after quite a long and unexpected break. Next, I also want to ask the council, I got a call just before the meeting from Berlin Fire Company President David Fitzgerald, and if you'll recall at the last meeting, we told him that we wanted to get something in place so we wouldn't have these requests, so that on their cash flow and when all that's done. So he called me just before the meeting tonight and asked if we could meet, if it would be possible, and whatever you all want to do, if we could meet maybe next Monday night at 6 right here at Town Hall and just see what he has to see what they have to offer. They've got something in mind, but I said, hey, I haven't talked to you, but I would be seeing everyone tonight.
What time were you thinking?
So I was thinking 6 o'clock, because that's if we were having a special session or anything, that's when we would have it. And I don't think it'd be a real long meeting, but I just want to throw that out to see if it would work for us.
I'm available.
On June 3rd?
Yes.
6 p.m.?
6 p.m. Yes, right here.
Fair enough.
Special meetings, nothing. It's just to sit down and talk about what we can do to make that much more feasible for both the town of Berlin and for the fire company. All right? And that's all I have. Do we have any comments from the council?
No.
Well, outside of the economic benefits for having freight service, I'm happy to see the train again. I missed that.
Good.
But that's the only thing I have.
All right. Thank you.
I'm fine.
I just have one thing.
Sure.
Related to the Memorial Day celebration over on Flower Street, I really do think that parking on Shaw Street and parking on Branch Street for that occasion should be limited to one side parking. It would be impossible for emergency vehicles to get down those streets without other property damage during these events. And if at all possible, where we're going to possibly be taking that parking away, maybe we could offer some type of shuttle service from the middle school for that day. But it just needs to be one side of the street. So next year when this event comes up, I would like that to be considered in its organization.
Okay. Is that the to add on to what Dean just said, the American Legion had already decided yesterday, since it was so much parking, that they have a lot, and it was behind your house. And, I didn't mention that, but we have a lot that they're going to open up, and we have a entrance on Flower Street, and next year they're going to turn that into parking. So that'll hold about maybe 30 to 40 cars, I would think.
Maybe suggest that they're working, obviously, the police department, which they really did such a good job, is if maybe they have some of those temporary little signs, like they have right at other events, right, that shows where parking is allowed and where it's
right
not.
Right.
And that's very good. I'm sorry there was some parking problems, but I'm delighted that that it's grown to the point that we now have them.
Yeah. Trying to be proactive.
Yes, to be proactive. Yeah. But that's another sign of success is, when you have parking challenges, that means people are coming near and far, and it was a wonderful parade.
Because the Branch Street, Flower Street, the church, all the parking was filled.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah. Troy, do you have anything?
Okay.
Do we have any comments or anything, questions or comments from anyone in attendance tonight? Yes, Marie.
You all are doing better with it.
Okay.
And it's important. I mean, if we're going to come here, I'd like to be able to hear it. So that's my...
No, that's a good comment. I'd love to see if there's a way, and we've been told it can't be done yet, if we could just have a microphone for everybody, you know, and something that's better.
It's right. That you would speak closer to your mouth, because you all sit back, and I don't mind you being comfortable, but I would like to hear you.
I do. It's I agree with you, and I wish we could find something.
It's nice to see you all get along and talk, but I'd like to hear it too.
Okay. We'll try to do better.
Thank you. No, appreciate it. Is anyone else have any other suggestions or comments or questions? Okay. Do we have any questions with the press?
Move to adjourn.
We stand adjourned. Thank you so much for your patience.
I know.
Your email is straight now?
Yeah.
I know Troy was having some issues with his. Yeah, good.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. You might make sure you might have forgotten.
I was.
All right.
All right, everybody get out of here.
That sounds like a winner. I think we can manage that.
I think you have anything else up here. I don't think you have anything else up here. I think you're.
I think I'm okay.
Yeah, I think so.
What'd you forget? The baby's, well.